curious things begin to happen afterwards. And I just sort of put these in perspective. The first thing of interest, you know, in terms of the American public being aware of, is that 3 days after the crash, the man who's responsible for the navigation systems at that airport, the man who's responsible for maintaining that radio beacon,
for sending that beacon out, yeah.
His name's Niko Jerkuic. He's out of work. He's not on the job on the Wednesday that the plane crashes. But on the Saturday that the bodies are sent back to Washington, or Dover, actually, the Delaware Air Force Base there, Niko Jerkuic shows up with a bullet hole in his chest.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he is the head of intelligence, just happens to be the son of the man who runs the country, Miroslav Tudjman, the son of Franjo. And Miroslav says that, well, Niko was despondent over a failed romance and
killed himself.
Now, if he had said that Niko was despondent because a plane crashed at his airport, it'd be credible. This is a little less credible. Something happens the next day that's even more astonishing. The bodies are back at Dover, Delaware, where the huge mortuary is, and there are 33 Americans are involved, six Air Force and 27 civilians. And I'm going to introduce another character. It's my two heroines in my book. It's a real human interest story, really, by the way, about Ron Brown, Nolanda Hill, his mistress and confidant. And we'll introduce another person here. Her name's Kathleen Janoski. Kathleen's just a real straight shooter. In fact, I had dinner with her last night in Pittsburgh. She's just really one of my favorite people. She is the head of forensic photography for the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. She's been in the Navy now for 20 years. She had been a volunteer at the White House, in fact, a year or two earlier. I mean, she was, you know, just a good citizen, good person.
So she has seen it all.
She's seen it all. And she's, you know, aware of the Vince Foster case a few years earlier, in which was botched investigation. She doesn't want to be part of any botched anything. So they start with Ron Brown, and she wants to make sure that this job is done right, the photographing of his body when it comes in on the examination table. So she starts by carefully calibrating her light meter, and providentially she starts by shooting the x-rays of Ron Brown, which are on the light board. You know, she takes photographs of the x-rays.
Yeah.
Then she moves, she gets on a stepladder, and starts at the head of Ron Brown. The other pathologists, there's a half dozen examining tables of this huge mortuary, bodies are coming through. But she wants to do Brown because she wants to make sure it's done right. She starts by taking photographs, she looks through her lens, and then she says, oh my God! She says, this is what she says out loud. She goes, it looks like there's a bullet hole in Brown's head. And the head guy, Colonel Gormley, shushes her, but the other pathologists have heard her, and they all gather around, and they all agree that right in the top of Brown's skull, into existing laceration, there's a perfectly round 0.45-inch hole that looks for all the world like a bullet hole. It's beveling inwards. There's a little fragments around it. And everyone says, my God, this looks like a bullet hole. Well, Colonel Gormley, who's the head guy, says, oh, no, don't worry about it. Let's just move this through. We've got to move this through. Don't worry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Next step is embalming. Let's just get this over with. He doesn't look for an exit wound. He doesn't do any forensic testing. But he's suspicious enough that he does two things. One is that he contacts the White House. The other is that he calls over to Croatia, where they've sent their chief bullet, you know, forensic pathologist to examine the scene. And here's one of the real heroes of our story, is a guy named Lieutenant Colonel Steve Cogswell. Cogswell's in Croatia. He gets the call from Colonel Gormley back at Dover. And Gormley says to him, listen, find something that could have caused this. Find a nut, find a bolt, find something.
Something,
fits this hole. That could have, this perfectly round, fits this hole, and it could have caused this. And Cogswell says, what? He says, no. There's a presidential assassination statute. It says a cabinet officer. And if you've got any suspicion, you've got to open them up. You've got to do an autopsy. You've got to inform the FBI. You have to inform Brown's family. And Gormley refuses to do any of the above. And Cogswell just is at a loss to understand what's going on back here. Well, Cogswell, a good soldier that he is, he goes about, he's a doctor, a medical doctor, and a U.S. Air Force, Navy pathology, works for the Armed Forces Institute.
He did not see the body there.
Not at that time, no.
Okay.
So, but he goes about his business, and he starts measuring things, and, you know, he takes photographs of them, and there's nothing that fits. And he also says, this is a plane in violent motion. This is like a perfect drill punch into Brown's head. You know, everything would have to be stationary for that to have happened in that manner. And he comes back, and he's still upset. But this is not a whistleblowing culture, you know, understand. And so they keep it under wraps. Janoski and Cogswell in particular are most concerned. There are other pathologists who are also concerned, but they just sit on this because they don't know quite how to handle it. Well, shortly thereafter, Janoski, you know, they have a kind of a gallows humor at this, you know, to survive doing pathologies and mortuary work.
It's a morbid sense of humor.
It is a morbid sense of humor. In fact, when the story comes in that that Niko Jerkuic is found with a bullet hole in his chest, they start joking about it. They say, we see suicides like that all the time, you know, people shooting themselves in the chest.
Well, right? As you know, Jack, news people are about the same way.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They don't mean to be insensitive, but they see so much of this. They create that, I guess, as their own in order to get by.
Right, it's a coping mechanism. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, half these bodies are burned, you know, they crispy critters, as they call them, you know, and they're charred. And I mean, Brown's body was not among them. Brown's body, in fact, which is odd about it, had no other discernible fatal wound other than this hole in his head. He has a broken pelvis. He probably has internal injuries and stuff that terribly obvious.
He wasn't mangled up or
anything. No, his body was perfectly intact. And looking at the photos and stuff, you say, in the x-rays, there is no other obvious way that he was dead. He had been in the back of the plane where Shelley Kelly was. And, you know, that part of the plane severed early, and it didn't go screeching on and burning up like the front part did. Anyhow, they find this hole, and sometime later, Kathleen Janoski, the photographer, is talking to Colonel Gormley, who is the head guy who put a lid on this whole thing. And she's teasing him about the hole, you know. This is the way they were. This is the way they behaved. And overhearing this conversation is a woman from Naval Intelligence, NCIS. And she takes Janoski aside, and she says to Janoski, you know, we destroyed the head x-rays. And Janoski says, you did what? She says, we destroyed the head x-rays. And Janoski says, why would you do that? That's against all protocol. And the Naval Intelligence person tells her, they showed a lead snowstorm, and they didn't want that. And Janoski says, what's a lead snowstorm? And the Naval Intelligence person says, you know, it's like metal fragments in the brain after a gunshot. And Janoski's beside herself. And so she doesn't know what to do. Then she remembers. She said, my God, I took photos with my 35-millimeter slide.
She's got it. That's right.
The x-rays. So she goes back to her office, and she starts going through her own files. And she calls Cogswell, the guy who's in Croatia, the good guy, the good pathologist. And she says, come and look at this. Tell me what I'm looking at. And they flash it up on the screen. And sure enough, Cogswell says, boy, that's a lead snowstorm. That's exactly what that is. That's exactly what that looks like.
And that x-ray is up on the coasttocoastam.com website, compliments of all of you. So and the links are all there.
Right. And this is, you know, Janoski, like I said, Cogswell, these are straight shooters. These are people, 20-year vets, you know, with real careers. So Janoski then, now she's in full Nancy Drew mode, you know, and she goes to the, by the way, she's as tough as Janoski, she says, this is the one time I was scared, you know. She goes to the library where they keep the x-rays, and the Naval Intelligence person had told her that they had taken a second set of head x-rays at a less dense setting. Janoski couldn't figure out when they had taken a second set, because right after the examination, this cursory examination, the body went right to embalming, and from there right to state. She goes to the file, pulls Ron Brown's x-rays, lays them all out, and there are no head x-rays at all. They were never filed. And they're numbered sequentially. Everyone else has head x-rays but Ron Brown.